Well, this is my first time to preach at the church here in Burnet, but what I found is it's a melting pot of people I've known from other places who have come to be here, and it's great to be reunited with them, and I look forward to meeting the new ones I haven't met yet and to enjoy our fellowship together in the Lord's church. You're familiar, I'm certain, with the concept of a mission statement. Companies publish their mission statement so that the public will know what their goals are. This is what we hope to accomplish. These are our aims as a company. And some of them are very simple. For instance, Coca-Cola's mission statement, to refresh the world. Disney's mission statement, to provide the best entertainment for people of all ages. Google, to connect people to information. Xfinity, to keep you on hold. Everybody has their own mission statement. Well, do you know we don't have to guess at what Jesus' mission statement was? He left no doubt as for the purpose for which he came. The Son of Man, he said, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That was his mission. And to follow Jesus, we're going to have to make his mission our mission. I want to invite you to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, where we're going to look at two of Jesus' apostles called to follow him, who had to learn about this mission of service. So when we think about our hymn for this week, who will follow Jesus? One of the phrases is, serving him today. That's part of the mission of being Jesus' disciple. In Mark chapter 10, start reading with me at verse 35. And James and John, the two sons of Zebedee, remember them? The sons of thunder, came up to Jesus, saying to him, "Teacher, we want you to do whatever we ask of you." You ever had anybody say that to you? "I need a favor. I need you to do something for me." And quickly we say, "Whatever you want, just say it." But I want you to notice Jesus' wisdom, where he responds in verse 36, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Give to us that we may sit in your glory, one on your right and one on your left." Now they have understood that Jesus had come to be the king, to establish his kingdom, that he was the anointed one, the Messiah, the promised Christ. And so in their minds, Jesus being the king on the throne, let us then have the positions of power and prominence, that one may sit on your right and one may sit on your left. That we would be those who would be considered the right and left hands of the king. Give that to us, Jesus, the sons of thunder. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" In other words, are you prepared to go through what I'm going to have to go through, if it be a cup of suffering or a baptism of fire? And they said to him, "We are able." Jesus said, "The cup that I shall drink, you shall drink. And you shall be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized. But to sit on my right or on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those to whom it has been prepared." And hearing this, the ten began to feel indignant with James and John. And calling them to himself, Jesus said to them, "You know that there's who were recognized as rulers of the Gentiles and lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." I once had a brother share this with me after preaching one day, and he said, "You know, there are really only two choices you have in your life." He said, "You can choose to wear a bib, or you can choose to wear an apron." And that's another way of saying what Jesus has said here. I did not come to be served. That's somebody who wears a bib. Bring this to me. Serve me. Give me what I need. He said, "I came to wear an apron." An apron is the garb of a servant. It's the recognition that this work is going to be at times messy. It's going to be inconvenient. But that's my mission. Not to be served, but to serve. And so who will follow Jesus serving him today? Are you going to wear a bib? Are you going to wear an apron? Now, before you make your choice, remember, this is a matter of the will. Who will? I want to make sure you understand what Jesus said is involved in being a servant. It was a lesson for James and John, and it is a lesson for all who choose to follow him. Number one, service is for volunteers. Did you notice that he said, "Whoever wishes to be great shall become the servant of all"? That's language that he also uses in the great passage of discipleship in Matthew 16 and verse 24. Remember, "Whoever wishes to come after me." Somebody going to force you to do that? Somebody going to make you serve? No, it's for volunteers. "Whoever wishes to come after me, let him first deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, Jesus showed that pattern to us in his life of service. In the passage in John 10, the great passage about him being the good shepherd, remember that he said, "I lay down my life." Nobody takes it from me. "I lay down my life on my own initiative that I may take it up again." If you want to be a servant, it's going to be because you have wished to be a servant. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul describes how Jesus, and listen to the language, emptied himself, humbled himself. It was his choice to do so. Service is for volunteers. You like to go to Chick-fil-A? I tell you why I like to go is to hear those words, "my pleasure." Because you don't hear those in other restaurants, do you? I know there are some people who have not chosen to be a server at a restaurant, or a waitress. Maybe there are no other jobs available. Maybe that's their second or third job, and they're having to do that. It's not what they intended to do. It wasn't their mission, but they're having to be a servant. And you can tell, but not at Chick-fil-A. It's my pleasure. I mean, it doesn't matter what you say. You could say, thank you for being annoying today, and they'd say, my pleasure. Try it the next time. Would people in the world conclude that it is your pleasure to serve the Lord? It's what I choose to do with my life. I'm not doing it because my parents did it. I'm not doing it because my wife or my husband does it. I'm doing it because I want to. Or do we say things like, I have to go to church? The people in this community say it's your pleasure to be a servant because I volunteered. It's what I wish to do with my life. Did Jesus have to go to the cross for you? Did Jesus have to leave heaven and put on an apron? He did it because He wanted to. He made it His mission. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? To be like Isaiah in Isaiah 6 when the Lord said, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And the prophet said, here am I. Send me. He volunteered. You going to wear a bib? Or are you going to wear an apron? Service is for volunteers, for whoever wishes. Number two, service is for the selfless. There is no such thing as a selfish servant. But that's what we see in James and John's request. Look at it again in verse 37. Give to us, or grant us, that we may sit in your glory, one on your left and one on your right. You see where the focus is for James and John? Us, that we may be seen. That we may be important in your new kingdom. Well, I want you to see, they didn't get that from Jesus. They didn't see Him focusing on Himself. In fact, what they saw was the exact opposite. They saw Jesus always seeing to the needs of other people, even above His own. They're off grumbling and arguing about who's the greatest, while Jesus is having compassion on people like sheep without a shepherd. Even in those seven sayings on the cross, those things that Jesus said that are recorded for us while literally hanging on the cross. So He was selfless. Think about it. Father, forgive. Not Father, condemn. Father, punish. Father, forgive. We saw Thee not when lifted high above that wild and savage crew, nor heard we that imploring cry, forgive.
they know not what they do.
Service is for the selfless. Woman, he said to Mary, behold thy son. Now, I used to think he was saying, mother, look at what they've done to me. And if we're honest, the song 10,000 Angels kind of leads us to think that too. Woman, behold thy son. Well, the next verse says that John was standing next to Mary. And then in the same breath, he said to John, behold your mother. Jesus, as the firstborn, was making certain his mother would be cared for after his death. And John took her into his household that very day. What was he doing? He was caring for his mother. To the thief, a thief who recognized something that Jesus' own disciples had not yet figured out. Jesus was dying, but his kingdom was still going to come. And so he said, remember me, Jesus, when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, you had your chance. You thief, you're getting what you deserve. No, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Who will follow Jesus? Serving even those we think don't deserve it. Serving Him in His likeness. Service is for the selfless. I remember when the kids were younger, and we were all in the kitchen one day, and they were arguing about who said this first and who did that first. And Melissa said, all right, who's going to be selfless? And one of them said, I'll be selfless first. Not so in the kingdom. In fact, we've got to put ourselves last. In 3 John 9, we read this about Diotrephes. The New American Standard says, who loves to be first among them. Other versions has, likes to put himself first, loves to be in charge, loves to be the leader. Well, if everybody's doing that, who's doing the serving? I don't remember who first shared this with me, but I've certainly found it to be so. The secret of joy in your life is found in just the spelling of the word itself. And if you can just remember what each letter stands for, that's the recipe for joy. J, Jesus, you put Him first. Seek first His kingdom. You see right there, the rest of the world saying, that'll never work. For me to have joy, I've got to put self first. I've got to do what I want. I've got to live my life. But joy is found in putting Jesus first and then others second, above yourself. What can I do? How can I serve? And then the why, that's for yourself and your last. Secret of joy is in serving. In Romans, the 12th chapter, when Paul is talking about some of those things that are to be found in the body of the Lord, the local body, one of the things he says to do, verse 15 of Romans 12, is to rejoice with those who rejoice. You see, if I only rejoice when good things happen to me, then just automatically I'm cutting in half the number of times I can be joyful in my life.
It's all about me. When others rejoice, well, I'm going to envy them. Why is that happening to them? Why do they have the good life? Everything just seems to fall in their lap. No, rejoice with them. Thank God for them. And weep with those who weep. And then in verse 10 of the same chapter, he says to be devoted to one another in love, giving preference to one another in honor. Literally, outdoing one another in honor. Several years ago, the elders at the Southside Church in Pasadena wanted to use what I notice you use, the paperless hymnal, where the songs are on the screens. This was new to the church at the time, and so they said, we're going to do this for a trial period, and we want to solicit the feedback of the church as whether it's something that we should do permanently. Obviously, it's not a scriptural issue of right or wrong. If we've got the same information on the book on the screen, it's just a matter of preference. And that's what it was. What is your preference? And they shared with me some of the feedback that they were receiving, and I was surprised, not just the feedback, but who it was coming from. The first demographic to say we are in favor of it were the older people. They said, these books are heavy, and the pages are hard to turn. And when we have to stand up to sing, it's hard to hold on to the pew and hold on to the book. And so when we can just look up and see the song, it's improving our worship. We can worship better. And then it was the mothers with young children who spoke up. And they said, you know, it's hard to hold a diaper bag, wrangle a kid, and hold a songbook. It's improving our worship. We're able to focus. Now, we had some who that wasn't their preference. But you know what they said? If it will help their worship, we can set aside our own preference. And if we want to still use the book, we'll use the book. But if it's helping their worship, we'll give preference to them in honor. Service is for the selfless. Who will follow Jesus? Does it always have to be your way? Is your opinion the most important? And if it's not followed, I'm out of here. Are we going to choose to be selfless servants like our master? And wear an apron instead of a bib. Service is for the selfless. And then number three, service is for the humble. Humility comes before honor. In verse 44 of our text, notice that Jesus said, whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave, notice, of all. Slave of all. You see, I can be a good servant if I get to choose who I serve. I'll just serve the ones who serve me, or I'll serve the ones who love me. But Jesus said, whoever wishes to be great becomes the slave of all. He again showed the way. On the night of the Last Supper, when Jesus literally wore an apron, girded himself with a towel, and went around the table and washed the feet of the disciples. Do you remember which one was the first to speak up there in John 13? Peter. He was washing the feet of the one who would say that very night, "I don't know the man. I'm not his disciple." He washed the feet of Judas that night, who left that very table to go and betray him. He was the slave of all. Who will follow Jesus, serving him today? In James chapter 4 and verse 10, James says to humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time. You see, we get that backwards. We want to be exalted and noticed, and then we'll be humble about it. When Jesus describes at the end of the age that great judgment scene where all the nations are gathered before Him, and He said, "I will separate the sheep from the goats." And to those on the right, He said, "I will say, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And you think, well, they must have done the big things in service to the King. I mean, they must have done the things that get put in the bulletin and are announced and the whole church is aware of. What kind of things were they doing where they could have such words of praise? "I was hungry, and you brought food. I was sick, and you came to see me. You served me. Lord, when did we do that?" We would have. "Well, when you did it to these my brothers, even the least." See, we do that for the elder's wife. We do that for the elderly saint who's been here all these years and been a great example of faith. What about the family who's just always kind of on the periphery? I mean, they're just barely hanging on. Are we going to serve them too? Are we going to humble ourselves before them? To those on the left, depart into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Well, they must have done the big sins. I mean, they must have really done these deeds of immorality and ungodliness that they would be banished to a place prepared for the devil. What'd they do? "I was hungry and you were too busy. I was sick and you said, I got to get over there. I got to go see them. Never found the time." Because you didn't serve my people. You didn't serve me. Because you didn't humble yourselves. You were too important. You missed out on serving me. It's going to be on the final, folks. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Not looking around and saying, "Well, why isn't anybody serving me? Why didn't anybody come see me when I'm sick? Why didn't anybody bring food to us?" Quit thinking about your bib and put on your apron. Because our mission is not to be served. but to serve and to follow Him who gave His life a ransom for many. There was a coin in the ancient world with a picture on one side of an ox prepared for slaughter. And on the other side, the ox was facing a yoke to go plow in the field. And the inscription on the coin said, "Ready for either." If this ox was going to be offered as a sacrifice or as a beast of burden, he was ready for either. James and John said, "We are able to drink this cup." James was the first of the apostles to be martyred for his faith in Acts 12. He went to the slaughter. John was the aged apostle, outlived them all, exiled to Patmos in his late years to write the book of Revelation. He went into the field and served, but they were ready for either. Both of them heard the words of their master. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Who will follow Jesus? Serving Him today. Come confess your faith and be baptized. Come and ask for prayers and encouragement if we can help. Come to Jesus and follow Him as we stand up and as we sing.